cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with
Glory.
And guys, I'm having a heart attack, right? Well, not a heart attack, but I had a heart attack this morning when I saw this pop up on the news. So we are dealing with one of my favorite cases of all times. We have done a show at the beginning of this podcast series.
Yeah.
Like, I think like episode number 5. So way back when.
Way before I was even on this show.
Yeah. Well, you were technically part of the show.
Yeah.
But you weren't.
I was getting shots in the background all the time.
Excuse me.
By two different people who we will not mention.
It's fine. It all worked out in the end, didn't it?
Yeah.
You're sitting here now.
I could have been dead. I could have been dead.
You could have been dead. Don't listen to him. He speaks absolute nonsense half of the time, but it is okay. So a news headline came up on my news feed that they have finally solved the Jack the Ripper case. Now,
supposedly.
Now, when I tell you this case is the whole reason I love crime.
That sounds a little bit.
Okay, let me tell
a little
you
bit
the story.
Suspicious.
Let me tell you a story. Saying. Way back when I was, I don't know how old. I don't know. 11, 12, whatever. I was watching a TV show called Forever. And basically, it was about this guy who never died. And every time he died, he popped out the river. And he always popped out the river naked. But that's beside the point.
Okay.
And on one of the episodes, they are dealing with a copycat killer of Jack the Ripper. And then that sent me into... a spiral. And I did a deep dive into the Jack the Ripper case. And I have never been the same since. And so even I went to London in 2022 and went on a whole Jack the Ripper tour, where the tour guide literally takes you to each of the locations where the ladies were killed. They now just like random streets and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, it was pretty cool. It's like the woman right here was lying, cut up and dismembered.
I find it interesting that you have such a fascination for crime.
Yes.
Yet you don't appreciate my dark jokes.
I laugh at your dark jokes. Don't
sure,
come with that nonsense.
Sure.
Sometimes they're really inappropriate.
But that's the thing. That's why it's called a dark
you
joke.
You know what? Guys, I have to live with this every day. Feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's fine.
I have a new one that I created. It might not be so funny, but let's see if you're going to get
it. Okay, let's laugh.
So my grandfather was supposed to give me a present for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But he was late.
Very nice. Stop it. You see, this is. I apologize, guys, for this nonsense. But let's do a recap before we dive into what has happened, what new evidence has been founded. And like I said, we did a whole show on this, but we're just going to look at the story. So the terror started on Friday, the 31st of August, when the body of Mary Ann Nichols was found in Bucks Row. Her face was bruised and her throat had been slashed twice and nearly severed. Her stomach had been hacked open and slashed several times. So there's a reason he was called Jack the Ripper. He was not a nice guy, okay?
Yeah.
On the 8th of September, the second victim was found. Her name was Annie Chapman. Her body was found in a passageway behind Hanbury Street. I won't lie. We went to these locations and they were pretty scary. I wouldn't go there even now by myself at night.
Yeah, well, look, it surely is worth the experience.
I tell you what I love about this case? You guys have to understand, it's the aesthetic of this case. Like, imagine, like, old-time London, cobblestone streets, you know, like, fire lamps. Like, it just does something. I don't know, guys. You'll never understand my obsession. But
you
it's
see,
okay.
The thing is, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, old London and stone and wada.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the reason to be a serial killer.
Exactly.
Because, like, everything is just so, like, bland and like, boring.
You. Shush. Anyway, she was laid, her possessions were laid next to her body, and her head was almost severed off, and her stomach had been torn open and pulled apart. Sections of her skin from the stomach lay on her left shoulder, and on her right shoulder was a mass of her intestines. On the 28th of September, a letter. Now, this is also why I love this case. My guy had the cockiness to send letters to the cops. Like, come and catch me if you can. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that just... yeah. I'm kind of sad. I really hope this wasn't the real killer, because I feel like the mystery excites me more than knowing who it was. But anyways. And it was signed Jack the Ripper. So he named himself. And he was threatening more murders. The name caught the public imagination when it first appeared in the newspapers. And it was then used afterwards. On the 30th of September, it was a grim day. And the Ripper carried out two murders within minutes of each other. Elizabeth Stride was the unfortunate woman who was found first at 1 a.m. behind Burner Street. When found, blood was still pouring from her throat, and it seemed that the Ripper had been disturbed while he was murdering.
Yeah.
But obviously he had not been satisfied, and so at 1:45, the body of Catherine Eddowes was found just a few minutes' walk away in an alley between Matrice Square and Duke Street. Her body had been ripped open and her throat slashed. Both eyelids had been cut, and part of her nose and her right ear were cut off. Her uterus and left kidney had been removed and entrails thrown over the right shoulder. The trail of blood led the police to a doorway nearby where the message had been chalked, and it read, "The Jews are not the men to be blamed for nothing." Okay, so there was this whole thing that my guy didn't like Jews. We're not going to get into that. Another letter was received by the Central News Agency, in which the Ripper said that he was sorry he had not been able to send the ears to the police as he had promised. That's so disgusting.
You know, I find this quite interesting because, I mean, prior to this recording this, we spoke about the fact that Jack the Ripper was a barber.
You just ruined it. I was about to explain who the you know what? You. We haven't told the people who the suspect was.
Well, too bad.
And you just went and ruined it. You.
Too bad. Now they know.
I can't.
Guys,
just continue what he said, because I was building up to this and I had a whole historical fact to tell you.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
You've ruined my show.
No, I haven't.
You have. You owe
you
me
just
sweets.
Ruined it.
You owe me sweets.
So, anyway, next time. So what I'm saying is, right, this guy is said to be a barber.
No, shut up. I'm going to carry on with my story. We'll explain.
But you can't cut me off in the middle.
That's not my business.
Okay, carry on.
Fine.
With your rant. Carry on.
Yeah, thank you. On the 9th of November, he struck again with Mary Jeanette Kelly, and she was found in her room at Miller's Court. Okay, she was lying on her bed. The scene of the room was appalling. The rent collector who found her said, and I quote, "I shall be haunted by this for the rest of my life." Mary's throat had been cut, her nose and breasts cut off and dumped on a table.
Huh.
That's nice. Her body had been skinned and gutted, and her heart was also missing. So Mary was the last of Ripper's victims, and his reign of terror ended as suddenly as it began. For 100 years, various names have been suggested as who the killer of these women were. Now, I always thought it was very interesting, specifically with Mary Kelly, because, first of all the people he killed was prostitutes. That should just be mentioned. So he did clearly have a type, and that's why they were mostly found in back alleys, very shady places. What I found very interesting was Mary Kelly was killed in her home, not on the streets.
Yeah.
And in our show, I remember when we did this years ago, I had said I thought the killer was actually Mary Kelly's boyfriend. And the theory that I had said was that she was a prostitute. He didn't like that. And so to scare her, he started going out and killing prostitutes, being like, "It's not safe. It's not safe. Stay inside. Don't do this anymore." And she didn't listen. And then that ended up with him killing her.
So was
that's
she the
why,
first was she the
no,
first
she was the last one, which explains why he would be, if she would be the last one, because now while
because I mean
her,
that so sounds it sounds like a good theory,
you
but
understand?
At the same time it could have just been that they had a relationship beyond just, you know, a quick buy?
So, I don't know. Like I said, this case has fascinated me for years. Obviously, a case in way back when is also very difficult when there is no DNA technology, there is no cameras, there is no, you know, cell phones to trace and stuff like that. Crimes in those days were much more difficult to solve. And this guy clearly knew what he was doing. And so, just a quick note, the letters, they were very weirdly written. And I'm going to actually read you one, just so you get a taste, before we go into actually the theory and who they are saying is now Jack the Ripper. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Dear boss, I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed them when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on, I can't say that word, and shan't quit ripping them till I do get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and want to start again. You will soon hear of me when my funny little games. I saved some of the proper red stuff in the ginger beer bottle." You see, it makes absolutely no bloody sense. "Over the last job to write with, but it was thick like glue. I can't use it." Oh, was he putting blood in a bottle to write these messages? Because the letters were written in red ink. That's
disgusting. Yeah, well, there you have it.
Well, cease. Anyway, red ink is a fit enough, I hope. Haha. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ears off and send it to the police officers. Just for jolly, wouldn't you? Keep this letter back till I do a bit more work, then give it out straight. My knife's so nice and sharp, I want to get to work right away.
This
guy was clearly cooked in
there. He was having a lot of fun.
Having a lot of fun. What? Not having fun. He's killing women.
Yeah, but you could, you like, just listening to that, what you just read, there's so much, like, enthusiasm in, you know, his work, as he expressed. I don't know why you have the look of disgust on your face. You chose to do this.
I don't have his look of disgust. I love this case. I'm just reading a little other piece of his message, and I'm like, I don't know what this guy was smoking. But
you know what would be a good profession for him?
What?
What do you call those people? What do you call those people that like dissect bodies and stuff like that?
The person who works in a morgue.
Yeah, well, whatever.
What do you call them? Morticians.
Morticians.
I don't know.
Did you just make up a word on the spot?
No.
Yeah, but
I think it's accurate. Mortician.
I think you'd be good at that. You know, dissecting.
Man, what are they called? I'm sure it's a mortician. It's not a butcher. A butcher cuts up animals. It's a mortician. I'm telling you. I will Google this.
It's fine. We'll look at this anyway, offline.
Anyway, so way back when, again, when we did the show, we actually spoke about the man who they now are claiming is the killer. And his name is Aaron Kosminski. Okay? And he is a Polish Jew. Okay? And he was a resident of Whitechapel. And he spent time in an asylum just after the murders, which would make sense because it kind of like the murders stopped because my man's was thrown into an asylum.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Anyway, and he was in and out of asylums until his death because the man is clearly cooked. Jack the Ripper was clearly cooked in the head, okay? And he matched the description of the man who was seen on that night of the double murder. Okay, now, he was a barber. And what I found very interesting is this. If you look back in history, barbers were actually seen as doctors in those days. So you had different levels. If you study medicine in the England's history, barbers were one of the people who you would consider being a doctor. In fact, they were considered the surgeons of today.
What?
Because they had skills with knives. Because obviously learning to cut hair and stuff like that. So you had like your physicians and all of that in those times. But one of the main sources of medicine and medical treatment was from your local barber. Would you go to your barber?
That's quite interesting to think about it. Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this dude only knows how to cut hair. So yeah, to think so about that.
They actually learn skills. So like you could come to them if you like needed stitching up or something had happened or but you had like a growth, you needed to cut it out. Yeah. Like the barbers were...
It does also make sense field. Because if you think about like when you, for example, getting your hair done or for guys, you know, getting a haircut, how, depending on obviously which barber you go to, how meticulous they are and the attention to detail that they pay.
I mean, they obviously had more skills back then. I mean, like I said, I don't think you're trusting the guy who cuts your hair to stitch you up. And
yeah, maybe not.
Okay, but this was very interesting for me because he would have had the skills to cut up a body like Jack the Ripper was doing. Okay, although I suppose any person with a knife, if they're crazy enough, they can do what they want. Anyway, so Russell Edwards has spent years investigating this case and says that DNA was extracted from a bloodstained shawl which was found at the crime scene of the victim, Catherine Eddowes. Okay, and it matches the Polish-born barber, Aaron Kosminski. Okay, and Edwards says, and I quote, "It's very difficult to put into words the elation I felt when I saw the 100%... DNA match. This brings closure and a form of justice for the descendants." Okay. Kosminski has been a prime suspect of the brutal murders for many, many years. Okay. And so Edwards was working alongside a genealogist and traced, they actually traced a living relatives of Kosminski. So they went, okay, Kosminski's son, grandson, great-grandson, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We found a relative. And they then went and tested that relative's DNA to the DNA found on the shawl.
Yeah.
And was 100% match. Because obviously your DNA matches the DNA of your ancestors. The shawl was actually purchased at an auction in 2007. Okay. And was believed to have been found by Edo's body. And forensic analysis has confirmed the evidence and now it has strengthened the case. So, will we actually ever know? No, because this man's alive to confess. No. At the end of the day, the shawl was said to have been found near her body. My guy could have dropped it by walking. You know, people drop things all the time. So there is not a definite. I do think there are clues that point to him. The fact that he was a prime suspect then. I mean, it's not like some random suspect just popped out now. He has been a suspect for many years. And I think the fact that he was a barber plays into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of sad if this is like the ending and it's no longer a mystery for me. I think that's what's making me like hold back. Yeah. Like I always say on the show, I really wish we knew the answer, but I don't want to know the answer.
About that, one thing for me, like, you know, the whole thing about finding out like many years later, like who's the guy that's killed your long lost brother or whoever. I mean, after many years, surely these people should get over it. I honestly...
Well, this was over like 100 years ago. Yeah. People are dead.
Yeah, but just in general, because, you know, people claim to find, what do they call it, peace, or what's the correct word? Like...
I don't know.
You said it just now.
Evidence.
No, man. Like, after the killer of whoever has been found, and people find some kind of comfort. And for me personally, I don't think I'd want to know.
Mine's not that. Mine is more, this has been one of the biggest cases ever. This, someone like the Zodiac, where it's like there is so much mystery and intrigue surrounding. There is so many theories and conspiracies. There was once a conspiracy that the killer, Jack the Ripper, was a royal member. That's why they never found him, because it was supposed to be a cover-up. They can't have a royal member being a killer. But there's been so many theories and stuff like that that, for me, kind of finding the answer now takes away, like, the excitement of looking at the case. So this coat or shawl thing could have very much belonged to Mr. Aaron, I forgot his surname, Kosminski, whatever.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily prove if he was the killer or not. But people are now claiming, and I think they are doing more investigation into it. It's probably going to open a bigger investigation now that there's been a 100% DNA match. So maybe we'll find out more. But like I said, to me, it's a little bit sad that it's like over.
Wow.
I know, I'm weird like that. It's fine. Leave me alone. And then you actually leave me alone by not saying anything.
Yeah. I was letting you finish your sentence.
Anyway, so hopefully in the news in the next couple of weeks, we'll have more definitive answers. But that is, well, was he Jack the Ripper? I don't know. I'm not feeling it 100%, but maybe that's because I always want the most dramatic ending possible.
Yeah, you think?
You think, yeah. Too many books, but it's okay. Otherwise, we hope you've enjoyed. Any last words that you would like to add?
Nope.
Nope. Are you sure? I'm just joking. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.